I want to share with you from a psalm that comforts my heart. You know, as we live in a time when people are talking about the economy sliding so much that we may be entering into a depression, you know, we may not feel it today, but we really, you know, there's uncertain times we live in today. Certainly no. How many of you really expected that a month ago, today the President of the United States would be talking about an economic collapse, not just in the United States, but throughout the world? How many of you thought that was coming? Any hands? No. Things were moving along pretty well, but now it seems like all of a sudden, how many of you have 401ks that you may have checked into and see that they're going downhill? It's really a shocking thing. And yet, for the most part, the economic situation or the political situation today, as they seem to be going along negative lines, Christians don't have to be following along negative lines today. But in Psalm 91 is a great comfort to me. In times of despair, times of fear, times of uncertainty, God's Word is always a great encouragement to us. God's Word is there to encourage us, to lift us up, to reassure us that He has promises that far outshine any Wall Street reports and far outshines any political reports of today. One of these days, the Prince of Peace is coming to rule the world, and that's what every Christian ought to be excited about and looking forward to. Psalm 91 is a psalm of life and light. It's a psalm of life and light. It's a wonderful psalm that speaks to the believer of a place of protection and security in the midst of a world that has seemingly gone mad. A world that has gone its own way and turned its back upon the God of light and love and compassion. Psalm 91 is a personal song of God's truth and hope and reassurance to His Son as He came into this world to accomplish the work of His Father, but also it is a personal song of God's truth and God's hope and God's reassurance to His children as they dwell in this world and walk with Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, as we come to Your Word, Father, we thank You so much for the Sunday school hour. We thank You, Father, for the teachers who have come this morning to share in Your Word, Father, from the book of Acts. We thank You for the book of Acts, Father. Without the book of Acts, we would have little or no history of the New Testament church, Father. The book of Acts is an extremely unique book in all of the Bible. Father, we thank You for the message that we heard in our Sunday school lesson this morning. We would pray that our Sunday school program would grow. We would look forward to an increased number to come and participate with us on Sunday morning in that Sunday school program. Father, we would pray that You would lay it upon people's hearts to come and fellowship with us during that time. It's a wonderful time. And Father, this morning as we've heard the choir sing and just had the congregation fellowship in song, Lord, it has been a wonderful blessing to us. We feel the very presence of the Holy Spirit with us this morning. Now, Father, as we enter into that time of sharing in Your Word, Father, we pray that if there's one here that doesn't know You as a personal Savior, maybe is having a difficult time walking with You on a daily basis, that today be the day that they make their full commitment to You, that they come out of the darkness of this world and the darkness of fear and uncertainty, Father, and come into the stand right in the warm light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for each one that's come this morning. We ask You, Father, to get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake, and all God's people said, Amen. Beginning in verse 1, the psalmist says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I mean, that is a beautiful verse of Scripture. That is a reassuring verse of Scripture. It's a comforting verse of Scripture for me, and I'm sure that it's comforting to you. What a powerful picture of God's divine protection over those that belong to Him. But I want you to note that the verse says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Where are you dwelling this morning? What place are you dwelling in this morning? What area? What area of concern in your heart is more important than walking on a daily basis with the Lord Jesus Christ? God's shadow of protection and divine security is over all of those that dwell where they're supposed to dwell. In the secret place of the Most High, which is the place of faith and trust and obedience to the Word of God. This promise is not for the carnal Christian chasing after the fleshly things of this world. I tell you, a carnal Christian running after the things of this world is not going to find much peace. It's not going to find much comfort. It's not, certainly not going to find much satisfaction after all. And it's not for the believer who is somehow wrapped up in drugs or alcohol or other known sins. And somebody will say, oh, Jim, you don't believe that Christians actually get involved in drugs and alcohol. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. You have many Christian families who have a testimony of loved ones who gave their lives to Christ long time ago, have been faithful and active in the churches, and yet somehow they sneak off behind the barn and have a sip here or there, or maybe doing drugs for some reason. And it's not for those who are abusers of others, such as employers over employees, husbands over wives, wives over husbands, parents over children, or even children over parents. It's for those that dwell in the secret place of the Most High. This promise is for the believer in Christ who is walking in the light of Christ and seeking to serve God with gladness in the midst of a world awash in spiritual darkness. The believer who is resting in Christ Jesus will not fear what the world can do to him or what comes about by the world's situation. He will experience that perfect peace that comes by way of trusting his Lord and his Savior. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, the Bible says, Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7, the Bible says, And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And my friend, when you have a personal relationship with Christ Jesus, you can truly say, I will say of him, as verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Isn't it wonderful to know today that no matter how far the market falls, how terrible the economic situation becomes, how poor the political reign becomes, you can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and have peace in your heart day by day as we wait upon His coming. And listen, the more we see of what's going on today, many Christians are down and out, and they're depressed, and they're thinking about the future, and certainly that's appropriate. But my goodness, you've got to remember this as a Christian. These are all signs of the end times. These are all signs that God has pointed to that will come to pass. We never thought we would ever be, that this nation would ever be in the situation it's in today. But it is. But it is. And it's come about by lies. It's come about by lies. And not just lies on from the top, but also lies from the very bottom. People living in situations where they can't possibly afford to live, and obtaining things that they can't possibly pay for. Verse 2 says, Though I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. You can trust every word and every promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. When He says He will never leave thee nor forsake thee, you can trust in Him. Politicians running for election today promise the moon and yet never intend to deliver. And the voting public has come to expect their politicians to lie, and so the world today has no problem with lying. The world today has no problem with lying. In Psalm 118 and verse 8 it says, It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. People worrying about who's going to be the next president. I tell you what they need to worry about more importantly is where they stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care who the next president is, God is still in control. In Psalm 118 verse 9 says, It's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. That's the government. The Christian can trust in the Lord. The Lord can be your refuge and your fortress in a world that is black with sin. Verse 3 says, "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Boy, how we need truth today. How we need truth today. Let me read those verses again. "Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." In John chapter 18, verse 37 and 38, Jesus is before Pontius Pilate. And Pilate, and verse 37 says, "Pilate therefore said unto Jesus, Art thou the king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. And to this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice." And what did Pilate ask Jesus? Anybody know? What is truth? What is truth? I tell you, we live in a world today that truth is marred. Truth is not black or white. Truth is gray. And if it's gray, it's not truth at all. Today, many people are asking the same question. What is truth? Well, we live in a world where evolution is taught in our schools as truth. We live in a world where abortion is an acceptable form of birth control. We live in a world where men and women live together outside of holy matrimony. We live in a world where men live with men and women with women in what society calls alternate lifestyles. And the government, ignoring the faith of our founding fathers and the Christian principles upon which this nation was founded, affixed their stamp of approval upon such wickedness and ungodliness. We live in a world where the legal profession advertises the advantage of suing your neighbor and filing for bankruptcy, while birth control advocates advertise their pills and contraceptive materials. And yet all of these things are contrary to the way of truth revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. And we are so ready to blame government and corporate greed for the economic collapse of these days. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, God said, "Woe," speaking through Isaiah, God says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Truth is so corrupted today that we, like Pilate, could ask the same question, what is truth? And yet Pilate demonstrated truth by his actions when he went out again to the Jews, and he saith unto them, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, Pilate told the Jews, "I find no fault in this man." That was the truth, wasn't it? Peace of heart and soul in this world today comes by way of holding on to the hand of truth, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "He covers thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." What a beautiful picture of a father's love for his children. I tell you that the storm arising over the land today, while others may run to and fro in fear and panic, the Christian heart can rest safely and securely under those wings of the Almighty. Verse 5 says, "Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord," speaking of you and me, "we, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation." God delivered Israel from the Egyptians, the Amalekites, the Syrians, the Assyrians, and the Philistines when Israel was walking in his light. Let me ask you, is God part of the habitation of your home? Is Christ part of the habitation of your home? He should be. He should be. You shouldn't just come to church to meet Christ here. Christ ought to come with you. I mean, he ought to be part of your home. The psalmist says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. And so God delivers us when we belong to him. God delivered King Jehoshaphat from the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Arabians. And God delivers us from our enemies and from our fears. His angels from on high carry us over troubled waters and escort us through dark places to bring us through to green pastures and to a pleasant and peaceful rest. God does all of this because we have made him our habitation. We have opened our doors and received him into our heart. We've opened our doors of our home and received him into our home. Verse 10 says, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Angels protected Lot from the Sodomites. Angels protected Elisha from the Syrians. And Paul testified before the terrorized sailors on the doomed ship to Rome. You'll remember Paul was being carried to Rome on a ship that fell into a great tempest. And in Acts 27, verse 23 through 25, Paul said this, the sailors were terrorized. Well, they thought they knew everything in the world about sailing. They thought they knew everything. They thought they were perfectly right with casting out and going out into the Mediterranean Sea when Paul had told them that it had been revealed to him that sailing would not be without harm. And they just laughed at him. But in Acts 27, verse 23 through 25, when the ship is in the midst of the tempest, Paul stood up. He says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all of them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, Paul says, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Angels escorted that ship to Rome. Psalm 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. How about that? The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. It's a wonderful thing to know that this world is not my home and I'm just passing through, but it's even more wonderful to know that I'm not passing through this world alone. And as we trust in Christ Jesus, he guides our every step. Verse 13 says, thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. And finally, in verse 16, it says, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my what? Salvation. Deliverance. Deliverance. As God the Father took loving care of his Son, he will take care of us when we walk in the light of his truth and when we have fellowship one with another. The Bible says his shed blood will keep on cleansing us from all sin. The question this morning is, if you're fearful about the future, if you're worried about what's going to take place tomorrow, God doesn't want you to. God wants you to trust him every day, because listen, today could be the day that he takes this whole church home. It's not going to be long. The signs of the times are evident that Christ is coming soon. The most important thing is to know whether or not you have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Has he become your habitation? And if he hasn't, my friends, when the church goes home to be with the Lord, you will be left behind. People look at the situations today, the election, the economic situation, and it just seems so depressing. But that's what God said was going to happen. And it's come about quicker than we ever thought. this great and mighty nation that we live in, this great and mighty nation that flexes its muscles. Let me tell you something, there's no greater nation on the face of this earth than the United States of America. I believe that. But even God is going to have His way in this with this nation. And a nation that turns its back on Him, He's going to turn His back on them. But the Christian who loves Him, even though that Christian belongs as a member and as a resident of the state or of the nation, God will take care of him. God will take care of you. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Where are you abiding this morning? Where are you abiding? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your encouragement, Father. And these are trying times we live in today, Father. And yet we probably haven't even seen the worst. Certainly is very possibly yet to come. But Father, I would encourage your people to draw close to you. Father, to place their hand in your hand and walk day by day with you. The Scripture says, cast all your cares upon Him because He cares for you. And so, Father, this morning I pray that each member of our church and each one present here in this sanctuary this morning has done that very thing, has made their personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as the days press on, and as we see the dark days or even some light days come, Father, we'll not trust in those days, but we'll trust in the Lord Jesus. We'll not trust in what man says, Father. We'll not trust in what the arm of the flesh does, but we'll put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless your people this morning. You get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen and amen.